What does the Word of God teach us about being a believer? How deep does it go into my life? I would like for us to look at some scriptures tonight. The definition of a believer, it's a professor of Christianity. Now, you know, I can be a professor. You know, we've heard the difference between a professor and a possessor. But this says it's a professor of Christianity. It's one who receives the gospel as the true way of salvation and receives Christ as his Savior. Now, many people will say, I believe in Christ and I have accepted him to be my Savior. So how deep does that go? I was looking at how close believing goes with faith. I was looking at the definition of faith. It's the assent of the mind, the agreement with in my mind to the truth declared by another. What someone else has declared, and I believe that to be truth. But then there was another definition I liked. It said for saving faith, it's the assent of the mind, but it's also the surrender of the will. Now that goes into a totally deeper area than just my mind believes that there is a Christ. So I'd like to start in Hebrews in 11 and 6. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, this is like the first step. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. You know, we're a blessed people. To have been trained since I was a child that there is a God. We hear the Wrights talking about showing their grandson about Edgar Meyer's Bible storybook. You know, we took it for granted throughout our life that it was just available to us. I never had a question even as a child that there's a God or not a God. It was just read about it, heard about it. We're blessed. But you know, there's many people that aren't. And this one says, without faith, it's going to be impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. You know, the very first thing we need to be able to do, we must be able to do. I've got to believe there is a God out there. And it says, not only that, but that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You know, for me to be a believer, I'm going to have faith that there is a God. And that he's a rewarder of them that seek him. But there's something else that, if I'm a believer, is going to come with it. I'm going to realize that I'm going to find that he is a rewarder of those that fail to seek him. I start finding scriptures like in Galatians where it says, it lets me know, be not deceived. God is not mocked. You know, if I believe that, that's going to change my life, hopefully. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Here is the very beginning. I start believing. You know what? I believe there is a God out there. And I believe he's going to judge my actions. He's going to be a rewarder if I will diligently seek him. Should I turn my back on him, I can find so many scriptures in the Word of God where I will be judged for that. Thinking of another verse over in Romans. Romans the 10th chapter. Romans 10 and 13. This is just a simple little verse. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, you know, that verse just can be just laid out just by itself. I called on the name of the Lord, so I believe I'm saved. But I looked at this about believing. Look at that next verse. How can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they going to believe of whom they have not heard? You know, the Wrights are helping us to be able to see, you know, there's some folks out there that are growing up without having this kind of knowledge that we took for granted. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? 17th verse. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. My faith is increased as I start hearing the word of God, the things that I should do, the things that I should not do. And we're responsible. Think of all the messages that we have heard. I just look what's online, what's available today for us. There used to be a time, I remember when Brother Leslie Busby would come to a camp meeting, and the recording equipment then was a huge reel-to-reel. Now, you couldn't carry that around in your car. How would you be able to hear it? It's going to take you just sitting and listening to that reel going around to be able to hear it. And then I remember when they came with cassette tapes. Oh, that seemed to be such a wonderful invention. And probably all of us have sacks of tapes at home that we collected over the years. I might, in the past, I've given them away. Maybe you have hundreds of tapes. And you like to be able to go back to them and pick through them all again and remember this one. I'd like to hear it again. You know what's available to us now is that I can go on my phone and have thousands of opportunities to hear the word of God. We are so blessed. Because there's something about believing. There's a scripture that tells us it's going to take more than just I say I believe. Because here's one in James 2 and 19. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Now that's an amazing verse. And I thought how we saw that in action. The devils also believe. You remember when Legion, when Jesus came to the coast there and Legion came out to meet him? It tells us in Mark the 5th chapter, 6th verse, it tells us that he fell down and he worshiped him. You know, he was not a believer. There was something inside him that let him know, you know what? This is Jesus. This is something more. Well, the Pharisees that had so much knowledge rejected Christ. You know, Legion accepted Christ. In fact, he wanted to go with him. Remember when the others came out of the city? There was a change that had come about, Legion. Sitting there clothed and in his right mind and ready to follow Jesus. And then I think about the Pharisees. They rejected him. This morning as we were talking about this being Palm Sunday and Jesus entering into the city, a multitude of people honoring him coming into the city, glad he was there. But it wasn't the Pharisees. It wasn't the leaders of the temple that met him there. In fact, it was the Pharisees that were upset with him. It showed that he went into the temple and he started healing people. And they were upset with Jesus. How could you be upset at somebody that only does good? Went about doing good. But what they could see he was doing is Jesus is fixing to bring a change to the way we've been doing things around here. The Pharisees said they were strict observers of the law. Do it just like this. Well, you know, if we went back to Moses' time, it was pretty strict rules in that time. One of them that I'm thinking about is the Sabbath day. You know, there was a God himself, one of the Ten Commandments, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And to do that, when the children of Israel were traveling, you remember where Moses let them know on the Sabbath day, don't do any work. Your cattle, your animals, your servants, nothing works on the Sabbath day. You remember even to the point that the man was found picking up sticks and he was put to death for it. It was a real strict observance back then, and the Pharisees chose to still be real strict about it. But when Jesus came along, he said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it. And you know, I can think about the Pharisees. Why did they have so much trouble with Jesus? What would it have been if you had chosen back, you lived back then, and you said, I want to follow God's way perfectly. If it says, don't eat on the Sabbath, I won't eat on the Sabbath. And here comes Jesus and his disciples, and they're plucking corn and eating it. You know what? Jesus was bringing about a change. This is the way it used to be. This is the way it will be in the future. And those people were not ready for a change. You remember where Jesus told them, said that he was Lord of the Sabbath. What would it be to be able to have a mind change, to be able to change from this to what Jesus wanted? Even Paul had trouble with it. You know, he decided, no, I'm going to be against this way, until he went into the road, on the road to Damascus, where Jesus talked to him and the change came about. So I was thinking of this, and I look at a place in Matthew 21, because the Pharisees are asking him, this is after he has, what we talked about this morning, Palm Sunday, and he is now gone, coming into the temple. 21 and 23. When he was coming to the temple, the chief priests and elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? This change, the change that is happening, who gave you this authority? Jesus answered, and he said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I and likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. And he says, the baptism of John, whence was it, from heaven or men? You remember, Jesus is able to see down inside of a person's heart what he's thinking. Mm-hmm. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we say John's baptism and his teachings were from heaven, he's going to say, well, then why didn't you believe him? So from the very beginning, they didn't believe John either. And they realized that they didn't believe John. And they see we're almost coming to a snare here. But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. He said to them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. So I look at this, and to those that had us, it seemed that they had a very serious desire. I want to do things just right. But along comes Jesus, and along came John, and they were rejected. What was the message? You know, it says the baptism of John, but it's more than just him dipping them in the water. It was the teaching that he had. What was his message to people? Repent. The third chapter of Matthew and the first verse. There comes something more to believing than just my speaking the words themselves. In this it says 3:1-2. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So when Jesus is talking to him here and he says, the baptism of John, was it from heaven or men? The teaching that John had included repent. If we say it's from heaven, he's going to say, well, why have you not been believing? And believing is more than just, well, we believe what John is saying. No, it's about them repenting. You remember, even as John was teaching the people, and there were people coming and repenting and being baptized, and he saw the Pharisees, he saw the religious people around that were not ready to accept that. And he tells them in the third chapter and in the 8th verse, bring forth therefore fruits, meet for repentance. Now, as I start saying, I believe, then even before salvation, bring some fruits that are meet for repentance. You know, a person that realizes I'm doing wrong and I really want to make a change, you know, they can be serious enough about it that they are, as they're on their way to Christ, they're laying things aside. I realize these things are wrong. Now, you know, if I were from the mind that, okay, next week I want to get saved, but I have a whole lot of things that I want to do before I get saved. Is that going to help? Probably no more than my diet plans for next week. I'm going to get really serious and start this thing. So we're going to go to Golden Corral today before we get that started. That is not serious enough. So with this one right here, repentance. And they talked about, let's look at Acts in the 19th chapter. Because here were some people, you know, back then there were a lot of people that had not even heard about Jesus, but they had followed John's teaching. 19:2, here's Paul talking. He said to them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?" And they said, "We have not heard so much as whether there be a Holy Ghost." He said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, "Unto John's baptism." In other words, we have accepted the teachings that John has and we're living to those. Then Paul said, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ." So now somebody that has accepted what John was teaching, living to that, now they're coming to a more knowledge now that John was speaking of somebody that was coming after him that you should believe in. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So as I look at believing, the world, the religious world, can pick some scriptures that make it very simple to make heaven their home. In fact, one that we all know, if you took it by itself, what is the requirement to have everlasting life if you read John 3:16 by itself? "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So there is something deeper to believing than just a head knowledge. And that's what we need to be able to search out. I was looking over here at 2 Timothy 2:15. This is important for us to be able to establish in ourselves, because we're going to go out and we're going to meet people in the world. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So John 3:16 is maybe one of the most known scriptures in the Bible. So what do we say with that? "I only need to believe and I'll have everlasting life." We start seeing things that bring about a change. You know, if it was only a head knowledge that I needed, why was there so much instruction put in the Bible besides just believe from your head and you'll be saved? Along comes the instruction of how I put off things, I put on things. If any man be in Christ, he's going to be a new creature. Old things will be passed away. Behold, all things will become new. But there is one in Acts when Paul and Silas were in jail. Acts the 16th chapter. It looked like a very simple thing for them, 16:30. It says, "Paul cried with a loud voice, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Remember the earthquake and the prison doors open. Then he called for a light, 29th verse, "sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. And he said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Just, you know, we could just take that and say, okay, here's all I need to do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is another verse that I would like to attach with that. It's in Romans. In Romans, the 10th chapter, there's something that goes more than just the head knowledge. 10:9. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Well, that sounds pretty simple. But there's something when he said, "believe in thine heart." This has gone deeper than a head knowledge. Because look at that next verse. "With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness." Now it starts changing. My believing causes me to have righteousness in my life. "And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation." You remember when Philip met up with the eunuch, and the eunuch was reading from the Old Testament, and the eunuch asked him, can you tell me who this is that, is he talking about himself or is he talking about somebody else? You know, he had just been to Jerusalem to worship, and he was not told anything about Jesus. But when Philip started talking to him about Jesus, you know what? He just accepted it. In fact, to the point that he said, when he heard about baptism, you know, baptism back then was more than just, for myself. It was an acknowledgement. What you've been telling me about John the Baptist, I accept that. And my baptism says I'm a part of this. So when Philip was there with the eunuch and he started telling him about Jesus, the eunuch said, here's some water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? And remember, Philip told him, said, if you believe with all your heart, you can. That's what we need. Believing with all my heart goes down to where my desires are. It's where my thoughts have been processed, and now they're about to be in action. I was reading in Barnes' commentary. It says that this is not merely the assent of the understanding, but it's the surrender of the heart, the will, and the affection to the truth of the gospel. So there is something else that I'd like to look at for just a little bit that accompanies, it must accompany believing, and that is obedience. As I say, I believe that Jesus is the Lord. I believe in Him, and I expect to make heaven my home. It will only come as I obey the Word of God, as He brings light to me. That's why we are very responsible people. We have more light has been shown on our path maybe than someone else. Someone else that has, the little boy that she's talking about, or grandson that doesn't have much knowledge, you know, he is not responsible for as much as we are. We are very responsible. But as I look into the Word of God and I start seeing things that I come up short with, I must move up. I must obey. So there's a few verses before we close I'd like for us to look at. In Luke 6, and these are, as we go out and we're mingling with the religious world, these to me are some important verses, not just to give to them, but also to remember for myself. 6:46. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Yes. It says, whosoever cometh to me, 47th, and heareth my sayings and doeth them. This is the important part, because there's another in John the 14th chapter. 14 and 15, a little small verse. If ye love me, keep my commandments. You know, I can say I'm a believer. I believe in Christ. If I love him, keep his commandments. And there is another one in 1 John 5 and 3. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. So I now have a desire that as I find what he instructs me to do, it's not grievous. I enjoy drawing up closer to him. And John, back in John again in the 15th chapter, says, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever. John 15 and 14. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. So you remember the scripture says, James 1 and 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Not just that I heard it, but I'm also a doer. As I search through the scriptures, and you remember the verse that says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. If I only read John 3:16, it doesn't seem like there's going to be much responsibility on my part to have an eternal life. But as I search the scripture, I will find out that believing goes a lot deeper than just I got a head knowledge that Jesus Christ came. Next week he died and he arose again, and I believe that and I will be saved. But that it bring about a change in our life. Another verse, one more verse before we close is 1 John, the second chapter. First John 2:2-3. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And in the on down in the sixth verse, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. As much as I can learn about how Jesus handled himself while here, that I would pattern my life after that. When I say that I'm a believer, what did it say the definition was? A professor of Christianity. I am living Christ-like. May we each one in our lives be an example to the world around us, because we have a lot more responsibility than many in the world do. But I was thinking as we close of a song, song number 138, I'll follow Jesus here. I'll never, never fear, though Satan's tempting powers assail. And though I'm tempted sore, I'll trust him evermore. For through his grace, I shall prevail. I will follow. Maybe we can sing number 138. It's a determination that I have, that we have, that you know what, I carry the title of being a believer. But help me to show to the world as they watch that, that it goes into all areas of my life. As I find something in the scripture that shows me changes I need to make in my life, that I am ready to do that. I am very thankful for what God has allowed us to have in our day and time. We give warnings about electronics. They can cause me to lose my soul. But I want to tell you, they can help me make heaven my home if I will handle them right. There are so many things. I can remember my Grandpa Doolittle. When he would travel as a minister, he carried a big old satchel. And I mean, it was heavy. Why? Have you ever seen the Clark's commentary? Have any of you had it? The orange book. That thing must be 2 or 3 inches thick. And then if you want to be able to find a scripture, you used a concordance. And it was about the same size again. Can you remember back to those times? If you wanted to find a scripture, but the only word that you could think of was kind of a common word, if you were thinking about a scripture with the word fear in it, so you look it up and there's about 3 pages maybe of fear. So you're going to have to go down each one and see if you can find it. Folks, we are blessed today. I have all of them right at my fingertip on my phone. I can read the Bible. I want to find out what the commentary says about this. Oh, dictionary. If you want the Webster's dictionary, you added that to his satchel. Tori about needs a little two-wheel dolly to haul the thing around, because each of those added a few more pounds to it. So you see them walking hunched over carrying that thing into a chapel. And now God has blessed us that right there on my phone, I can see the dictionary. I can see the commentary. And then if a song comes to my mind, the Evening Light songbook is also there. Folks, we are blessed. So as a believer, I want to take advantage of what I have, the advantages that I have, and ask the Lord through those to show me any adjustments that I ever need to make in my life, that I can be a better example to the world of what a believer is really. Pray for me.